your Bibles this morning and open them to Revelation chapter 22. We are drawing down to the end of the book of Revelation. I just want to, first of all, thank God. You know, you can go ahead and stand because we are going to stand in honor of God's Word. But before we start reading it, I just want to thank God for leading us into this study because it's so apropos for what's going on around us. Revelation chapter 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. And on each side the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. And they will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night, and they will not need the light of lamp, nor the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And they will reign forever and ever. And the angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent His angel to show His servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me, but he said to me, 'Do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and the prophets and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of this prophecy of the book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who's vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. Let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, sexually immoral, murderers, idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bride and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let him who hears say, "Come." And whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take of the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes words away from the prophecy, this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life in the holy city, which is described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I'm coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, you are coming soon. You love us so much. You don't just love people who are at church today, but you love every person in this world. Every person who's ever been created. Every person that you personally have knit together in their mother's womb. You love them so much that you gave. And now, Lord, you've given us an opportunity to fulfill the call that's on our life. And that's to share the gospel with people all around us. Lord, I pray that we will not put it off, that we will not drag our feet, that we will not hope somebody else does it. But Lord, that you will bless us with the opportunity to to be able to share the greatest news ever with the people all around us. Thank you so much, Father, for your love, which is unconditional. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I just got to say, this week has been kind of emotional for me. But it's not emotional just because I get all teared up sometimes. It's emotional because God has really been placing on my heart the importance of the time. I don't know if you saw in this passage and heard in this passage that we just read how many times Jesus said, "I'm coming soon." Four different times he said, "I'm coming soon." Now, we can just say, well, soon to God might mean a long time from now. It might. But it might mean soon. And I just have to believe with the things that are going on around us, it's sooner now than it's ever been. We're drawing close to God pulling back the veil. And instead of offering grace and mercy to this world, as he's been doing for thousands of years, he will then bring forth his wrath. And if we were to look at what people have done towards God, we would say, Lord, you've been very patient. You have withheld your wrath and your judgment because you love people and you're trying to give them a chance. What an amazing passage this is today. The end is the new beginning. The beginning of forever. The beginning of eternity. The book of Revelation is truly revealing things that are about to happen. The Lord has used these words to remind us that he is coming back for his children, that he is bringing judgment upon a non-repentant world, that he's coming back to rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years, and that he's going to judge the living and the dead, that he's going to send Satan and his demons and all the lost to the lake of fire forever, that he's preparing a new heaven and a new earth, and that we will live with him forever. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. It's all about. Now, some people look at the book of Revelation with trepidation and say, there's no way we can understand what God is trying to say. But listen, folks, the Holy Spirit is obviously opening up the word to us. And if we will listen with our spirit and our heart, we will know exactly what God is saying to us. God's word, his scripture, is always true. Always. It will never contradict itself. It will always come to pass at just the time that God says it's about to happen. Now, I want us to take a look at that for just a minute in a little deeper fashion. And by the way, let me just explain to you what's happening in this study. We're finishing up chapter 22 today, which is the last chapter of Revelation. But I have one more message that I'm going to bring next week out of the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation. And I want to try to put it into perspective after we've studied each portion of it and put it all together for one last statement from God's word to us. And I feel like God's really going to speak through that. Then he is drawing my heart towards starting a new series through the book of Philippians. And so that's where we'll be heading after this. By the way, the interesting thing about the book of Philippians, it's the only book that Paul wrote, the lonely letter that Paul wrote to a church that doesn't have something bad to say about the church, doesn't have correction. In fact, it's full of admonitions and encouragement. And don't we need some of that today? We certainly do. So anyway, that was just a little side note, a little commercial for next week and the week after. The Scriptures. You know, the Scripture, you know, it has taken so much heat. There's been so many people who try to somehow discredit God's Word. There are people who literally get paid to try to somehow twist the Word around or try to make it say something that it doesn't say. And they literally get paid to do that because what the evil one is trying to do is to discredit God's Word. And you know what? God's Word cannot be discredited because He is not discredited. The Scripture is true. Everything that John was shown, he said about it, is faithful and true. You know why? Because it comes straight from God. It's not coming from another person. It's not coming second-handed. It's not coming. It's coming straight from God Himself. And as the Lord opens up, as Jesus was standing before John in the first chapter, saying, "I am the Alpha and the Omega. Write these things down." Guess who was telling John to do this? Jesus Himself. So everything that he says is going to be accurate. Everything that he says is going to be faithful and true. All that God has shown him will take place. Now, I know some people think, well, maybe if the world changes a little bit, then God won't bring his wrath upon it. Guess what? This world is not going to change. Is it getting better? This world is not going to change. God has given us year after year, after decade, after century, over and over opportunity for us to change, but we're not changing. In fact, if you look at the morality of this world, it's continued to slide down the hill, the slippery slope. So Jesus tells John, these are things that must take place soon. Why must they take place? Because God's honor is at stake here. When God says He's going to do something, He's going to do something. So these things must take place soon. When all the things around us begin to show how swiftly things can change, we should take note and realize that His coming is very close. I dare say 7 months ago, people wouldn't think anything like this could ever happen. I mean, not being able to meet together in a room, are you kidding me? Having to walk around wearing a mask all the time, are you kidding me? We don't have to do that. We live in America. We're free. We can do what we want. Listen, folks, things are changing quickly. Drastically. And just when you think that a vaccine is coming out for the COVID, which they're working on it diligently, guess what? There's going to be other things. They're now talking about having a twindemic. Instead of a pandemic, it's going to be a twindemic because there's a new strain of COVID that they're seeing pop up in several different places that is more violent and more strong and more aggressive than COVID-19. And then they're saying there's now a new strain of flu that's worse than any of the flus that we've seen before. Folks, listen to me. This is just a sign of the time. Everything that God says will take place. The Scriptures are accurate. There's no doubt about it. Look at what verse 6 says. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must take place soon." Then look at verses 7 through 9. "Behold, I'm coming soon," Jesus says. "Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and had seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. And he said to me, 'Do not do it. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and the prophets and all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.'" Now let me ask you to do something. If you do this kind of thing, I do. You can look at my Bible and you'll see more marks in it than anything. I mean, I mark my Bible up all the time. Mark this. Put a square around it. Put a circle around it. Whatever. Those two words, worship God. What are we to do because of what we've heard? We're to worship God. Now, is that by just singing songs? No. What is our spiritual worship according to Scripture? What is our spiritual worship? It's to obey the Word of God, which is our spiritual worship. We are to do what he says for us to do. That's how we worship God. Not just singing. I love to sing. I love to worship God through song and praise him. But that's not just worship. That's not our own. Giving of our tithes is worshiping God. Giving of our efforts is worshiping God. Using our spiritual gifts that he's given us is worshiping God. Living in the presence of him is worshiping God. Abiding in him is worshiping God. Y'all get it? It's not, worship doesn't happen just in this room. Worship happens every single day, all day long, every hour of every day, when we allow God to completely inhabit us. The scriptures are accurate. They're authoritative. The Lord speaks with authority. He says, "Look, I am coming soon." Have you ever noticed how often Jesus said, "I am"? He says it multiple times. And it's not just a coincidence, by the way, because he is stating with his authority, the authority of God, that he is coming soon. No one can change what God has set into motion to accomplish. Some people think, "Well, you know, well, if we turn this thing around and if we get people really following God, you know, then he's going to wait. He's going to hold back and change." God doesn't change. What he has set into motion to accomplish will come to pass. There's not been a single exaggeration in all of God's word, nor there has been there a single falsehood. Everything that he says for a reason. Now, there's sometimes when my mouth gets into motion before my brain kicks in, that I say things that I probably shouldn't say. You ever done that? Amen? Blurt out something, say something, didn't even think it through, and then when I get through saying that, I go, "What did I just say? How could I say something dumb like that?" But you know what? God only speaks the truth always. Always. With authority. Every prophecy made in this book will come to pass in the Lord's time. Period. It will. Every prophecy. Everything he says will happen. You mean there really will be 7 years of tribulation? Yes. You mean there really will be mountains falling on people? Yes. There really will be meteors falling on people? Yes. Hailstones the size, yes. Everything he says is going to happen will happen. Because he is the authority. And when he speaks, he's speaking with authority, the truth. The scriptures are accurate. They're authoritative and they're accessible. Listen, folks, we have this right in front of us. Why are we not telling people about this? Why are we not going to people and saying, "Listen, the time is coming soon. You don't have much time. You need to listen to what God is saying. Why aren't we motivated to do that? Why aren't we encouraged to do that? Have we allowed this world and the ruler of this world to get so entrenched into our thought process that we think, well, I could say something about it, but they might think I'm a crazy person. I don't care. I am crazy about God. We have got to be people who are willing to boldly stand and proclaim the truth of God, because the time is short. He's coming soon. In fact, this angel commands John, do not seal up the words that he has written. You see, before these words were all sealed and the seals were finally broken and God starts revealing all of these things to us. And so after everything has been revealed, the angel says to him, now don't seal this up. What does that mean? It means tell people. It means to get the word out. God wants everyone to hear this message and to know that these prophecies will be fulfilled. The scripture that you hold in your hand is a living witness to the God of heaven. It's not just a bunch of words on a page. This is the only book ever put together that is inspired with the power of God's Holy Spirit. And what's written on a page can literally come to life in you. It's the only one. It's the only one that can do that. It's the only one that God continues to use to say to everyone who will listen, I am the way and the truth and the life. You see, this word reveals Him in all of His glory, in all of His power, and even in all of His wrath. I don't think we yet can still understand what the wrath of God is truly going to look like. But when it is displayed, it will be unbelievable. We won't even be able to comprehend it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And even if our gospel seems to be veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Listen, folks, this world, can I just say it in a very vernacular way? They don't have a clue. And the reason they don't have a clue is because the evil one is continually over and over and over, year after year after year, blinded them by saying, oh, don't listen to all that mumbo jumbo junk. That's just a bunch of stuff for little kids in vacation Bible school. You're an adult. You can make up your own mind. You can figure things out on your own. You don't need God. I tell you this, folks. Everyone needs to read this book and to heed this book. Everyone. Because there's no doubt in my mind, according to this book, that there'll be a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ, exactly who He said He was, every knee will bow, every tongue confess, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Folks, God's Word is right. It's true. You can believe it. 100%. 100%. Secondly, this morning, not only are we talking about the Scriptures, we're talking about the Savior Himself. You see, we know Jesus came, lived upon this earth. He taught people. He did all kinds of miracles. He did all the things that He was supposed to do exactly as the Father had laid it out for Him. And then He, by His own desire, gave up His own life so that we could be saved. he came as a Savior, but next time he comes, he's coming as judge. His advent is talked about in verse 12 and then again in verses 20 and 21. In fact, it says this, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." And then again in verses 20 and 21, "He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." He's coming soon. If I could say it a different way, let me just say this. He's coming soon. He's coming very soon. He's coming two different ways. The first time will be in the clouds. The Scripture tells us about that in 1 Thessalonians. Also in chapter 3 of Revelation. He's coming in the clouds to receive His church to Him. It's called the rapture. Hupo in Greek. Caught up with Him in the air. That's the way I choose, by the way. I'm looking forward to that. If I get to be a part of that, I'm so excited. To not have to taste physical death would be pretty cool. But just to be in the presence of God is going to be cooler than anything. He's going to come in the clouds to rapture His church. And then He will come at the end of that tribulation time to reign on this earth for 1,000 years to show everyone what it could have been like if they would have just followed God. Heaven on earth. His awards. The Scripture says that when He comes, He's going to be giving out some awards. Now, these are not, by the way, statues that they hand up to somebody and say, "You did a really good job of portraying somebody on a movie." Those kinds of awards, they're not going to be worth anything. There won't be one person who stands before God and says, "Wait a minute, I got the Nobel Peace Prize. Isn't that good enough?" No, it's not. Jesus is going to give out some awards for those who are saved. He will reward us according to what we have done for Him. They will hear the most encouraging words ever spoken. What are those? Matthew 25, 23. The master replies, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." What a day to hear Jesus say that to me. But for those who have rejected His salvation, those people will hear the most horrible words ever spoken. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 23, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." See, everybody's going to get awarded one way or the other. Now, I don't know about you, but I prefer the first award over the second one. He's coming. He's coming with His awards. He's coming in His authority. You see, the Scripture, if you recall, back right before Jesus was taken up His ascension back into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, you'll recall He told His disciples, He says, "All authority has been given to me." All authority. "Therefore, you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world." In other words, God was saying to His disciples, God was saying to His church, God is saying to you if you know Him, "My authority is this, I have given you authority to go and to tell." You see, in these two verses, verses 13 and verses 16, Jesus declares His ability to make these statements and then to bring them to pass. Look at what verse 13 says. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Then in verse 16 he says, I've sent my angel to give you the testimony for the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. Jesus uses every single possibility of authorities that the Jewish people had followed, and now that the Christians were following, he uses these to say, I am the authority. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. That reminds us, he was here when everything began. He'll be here when everything ends, when it winds up. He reminds us that he is King of Kings, and he is the ultimate authority. Listen, folks, if you thought for a moment, for just a slight moment, that the President of the United States, whether you like him or not, was coming to Craig, Colorado, and he wanted to have dinner with you, would you be pretty amazed that he would want to have dinner with you? And you probably clear your schedule. Even if you had planned on being somewhere else that night, you'd clear your schedule and say, yeah, I'm going to do that. Because he's asked to have supper with me. You know, most people would think that's pretty amazing. But listen, folks. Jesus, he wants to have fellowship with you right now, every single day, all day long. He doesn't want there to be a time that we are separated from him. He wants us to abide with him. He has all authority. Then lastly, we see in verses 17 through 19, the Spirit. This is an invitation for his appearance. Look at what it says in verse 17. Now, folks, if this is your heart's cry, then you should be able to pray this. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. John chapter 16, verse 14 says, he will glorify me because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. In other words, Jesus says, I'm coming so that you might know who God is and that you might follow him. And he's saying to all of us to come. Most people don't know that God is beckoning them to come to him, that he loves them. Now, whose fault is that? It's our fault. Because what we seem to portray to this world is, here's God's set of rules, obey them or die. You know why? Because that's what religion does. Religion says, if you do this and this and this and this and this and this and this, then God might have mercy on you. That is a lie. And you know who came up with that lie? The father of lies. Because he wants to make people believe if you'll just do enough good things, a little bit more than the bad things you've done, then God's got to have mercy on you. It doesn't work like that. God is inviting people to come. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit of God longs for the Savior to return so that he might defeat his enemies and occupy his rightful place on the throne. Listen, God has been waiting patiently. He's been waiting patiently. But how much longer can a holy God wait? I know one thing. He must love people so much to wait. The Bride of Christ, the Spirit of God is saying, come. The Bride of Christ is also longing for his return. Look at 2 Timothy 4:8. Now there is a store for me, a crown of righteousness, Paul writes to Timothy, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Have you been longing for his appearing? I just got to be honest with you. I, I, I long for his appearing so much, but I know that that's selfish in my own heart, and that he really wants me not to long so much for that, that I forget why I'm even here. And the reason I'm here is to tell people that he's coming. And that he is the way and the truth and the life. And that he does have a purpose for their life. And he does want to save them. And he does want to make them whole when they were lost in their sin. John chapter 5, verse 24. He's making an appeal for people to accept him. Here on the last page of the last chapter in the last book of the Bible, the Spirit of God offers one last invitation to lost sinners to come to Jesus for salvation. Now let me tell you something, folks. This is how I know that God still cares and loves people, because we're still here and we still have the book. And at the very end of the book, God is still offering people to come. He's saying, please come. Please come to Jesus. Please receive what he's done for you. He wants everyone to come. Wayne, what's the verse? Not wanting anyone to perish. But that all should come to repentance. Even as everything is brought to an ultimate close, he is still longing for people to come to him. I remember we were at a youth camp when I was early in the ministry, and I'd taken our kids to this youth camp, and it was a great, great time of getting close to God. And it's amazing what happens when you pull kids out of their regular environment and junk that they're having to deal with and take them to a place where they can feel the love of God and they can hear about the love of God and sense the love of God. And it's amazing what happens in a person's life. And we were at this encampment, and God began to speak to our youth. And there was a young man who stood up towards the end of our time together that night, and he began to say how much he had really wanted his brother to come to know the Lord. His brother was older than him. He'd always looked up to his brother. They were raised in a very poor household. Just the mom. The dad had gone off and left in a drunken stupor and never returned, and so they were making it from day to day. And he said, I remember we were on we had bunk beds in the one room that we had, and I slept on the bottom, and my brother slept on the top, and he was older than me, and I'd been going to church, and he didn't want to go to church, and I'd heard the good news, and he didn't want to hear the good news. And I just began to weep one night because I wanted my brother to be saved. And he said, as I began to pray for him, I just began to cry. And my older brother looked down over the edge of the bed and saw me crying. He says, why are you crying? Are you a baby? You know how encouraging big brothers can be. Are you a baby? And he said, no. He said, I'm crying because I'm hurting on the inside. And for just a moment, his older brother softened up and said, why are you hurting on the inside? He said, because I don't want to be separated from you. You're my big brother. I look up to you. And I love you. And I don't want to be separated from you. His big brother hurt him, and for a while just kind of laughed it off, and later on didn't say much about it. But that young boy had God put on his heart to write a song, whatever it takes, even if my will has to break, whatever it takes, I will follow you. He wrote that because of his older brother, who, by the way, later got saved. Because whatever it takes, I'm wondering, would we be able to write something like that? Would we be able to pray something like that? Lord, whatever it takes for my will to break, that's what I'd be willing to do. You see, it's going to take that for us to reach some people around us. Whatever it takes. There's a warning to all who will tamper with the Word of God. God finishes up His Word with an admonition. His admonition is straightforward. It's to the point. Look at what it says in verses 18 and 19. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life in the holy city which are described in this book. There's a warning to all who would tamper with the words of this book. And it's a twofold warning. Do not add or take away. Why? Because this book is perfect. It's infallible. It's the complete Word of God. There are no more further revelations given to men, by the way. Not the Book of Mormon, not the writings of the Mary Baker Eddy and the Christian scientists, not the Quran of the Muslims, not the four books of Confucius, not any of the other religions of the world that you could come up with. There are no books, there are no revelations given to men except the revelation that God has given to us through His Word. And I want to close with this last statement. J.A. Sice states this in his commentary on the book of Revelation. He says, "Oh, my friends, it is a fearful thing to suppress or stultify the Word of God, and above all, the words of the prophecy of this book. To put forth for truth what is not the truth. To denounce as error, condemn, repudiate, or emasculate what God Himself has set His seal to, and His mind and purpose, is one of the highest crimes, not only against God, but against the souls of men, which cannot go unpunished." Listen, folks. God's Word is true. It is speaking. Will you answer? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh God, we call out to you today. I don't know how much more straightforward you can be with us than what you've shown us in your Word. You so desire for us, so desire for us, to not only hear the Word, but to put it into action. Lord, why are we so much like what James says? People who look in the mirror and see what ought to be done and walk away and completely forget about it. And so deceive ourselves. Lord, there may be somebody listening today who you've spoken directly to their heart. But even in the process of that, they might be trying to rationalize what you've said and try to put it into some kind of perspective that it doesn't really pertain to them. Lord, you're speaking. Your Spirit is speaking. Your Word is speaking. You have spoken. Now it's up to every single person to decide, what am I going to do with what I've heard? You see, if you're already saved, then what you've heard is, not only has God given you grace, He's also given you a purpose for living. And it's not just so you can live this life knowing that you're saved. It's so that you can become His ambassador, as though He's making His appeal through you. And you should be telling people around you how much God loves them. See, God doesn't want to, Lord, just help people to know this, that you don't want to just come and crush people for their sins and to cast them into hell. That's not your desire. You are patient. You are looking for people who are willing to say, Lord, I need you. So, Father, I pray that you'll put upon our hearts as people who already know you, if that's the case, to not hide our light under a bushel, not to allow our salt to become unsalty. But help us, Lord, be your witnesses. But for anyone who's heard this word today, Lord, I pray that you'll pierce their heart with this word by your Holy Spirit and let them know the time is coming soon. And on that day, they'll either hear, well done, good, faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. Oh Lord, would you do your work right now in the lives and hearts of people who are listening, whether they're here in this building or listening online, listening on Facebook, wherever, whatever it is, Lord, would you speak by your Holy Spirit right now? I pray it in Jesus' name. We're going to stand and sing a hymn of invitation as we do that. I'm inviting you, if you don't know Jesus, to come, and I'll share with you how to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. If you're looking for a church home and you feel like this is the place that God has called you, we'd love to have you. Whatever God is saying to you, maybe you just want to come. About 3 weeks ago, I asked you to take a 3x5 card if you chose to do this and put a name on it. And pray every single day that God will give you an opportunity to share Christ with that person. I don't know if you've done that or not. Only that's between you and God. God only knows your heart. But maybe you want to come and kneel and pray for that person right now. Whatever it is that God has said, as we begin to sing this hymn of invitation, would you do what God has put on your heart? Let's sing.